Welcome, everybody, to the Voice of Believers Church, Wednesday night edition. Hallelujah. Good to see all the friendly, happy faces. Happy, praise God.
Amen. I agree. It's good to be back, I'll tell you. We miss being here. We're glad that we were able to have David here. He's a really good teacher. Y'all were blessed. Amen. Anyone have any testimonies you need to share as a word of encouragement? Any testimonies?
Well, I have one to share.
Okay.
And I've been working with KCM, Kenneth Cope Ministries, to get our church on their website. As, like, say, someone moves to this area or someone's in this area and want to find a church that teaches the word of faith. And been trying to get that done for a while now. And finally, I got to talk to the lady. Had a breakthrough on that today, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lady right there, like at 4 o'clock, called me back up in KCM and says she's going to get it done, hallelujah. She got the church's address and everything. You're going to get it put on the website where anybody that comes to this area or anybody that looking for a church can find it on that website.
Isn't that cool?
So that was neat.
That's cool.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Announcements?
Yes, we do have announcements. These we're going to hand out.
Right.
We're going to put up here. And we're going to have prayer on the square, September 18th. It's a Sunday night. What time?
It is 7 p.m. See it down here at the bottom, 7 p.m.?
Okay, 7 p.m. And there's going to be a choir. There's going to be music. And it's going to be the whole community going to come out. And we're going to pray for our nation. Isn't that good? And the first one was last year,
mm-hmm,
and then every Tuesday at noon, they've been praying at the square at the courthouse, and God is hearing us. And so now, and it's going to be talking about one nation under God. And so we're all going to pray as a community. We want to get the word out, so we'll hand these to you. You guys can hand it out.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to make copies of this, right?
We
could do it tomorrow, probably.
That way we can get more from Brother Pepper, either way.
Okay.
Either way. I mean, I'm talking about there's all kinds of denominational people up there, non-denominational people coming up on Tuesday, people from different cultures.
For unity.
It's really unified.
Right.
That's what I like about it. Very unified.
Unity,
so,
that's right.
And we've been doing that every Tuesday. This is my fourth Tuesday. Yesterday was, and they're going to do that, like I said, on the 18th. It's on a Sunday night, 7 p.m.
And then the Wednesday night after that.
Yes.
The 21st, mm-hmm. From 7 to 9, they're going to have also a solemn meeting of prayer, right? Is that
right,
the name of it?
Right. Now, this church will be closed on the 21st because we'll be meeting up at the church called The Gathering.
The Gathering.
Beside Cheers. So that Wednesday night, we'll be going to The Gathering.
It's going to be the whole nation, the whole body of Christ is going to come together and have a solemn meeting of prayer.
So the town of Mount Vernon and the county of Franklin County will be at The Gathering.
All the churches.
And from every different churches will be there.
Tony Evans is involved, yeah. Robert Morris, and a bunch of others. Yeah, the Mount Vernon Gathering.
Now they won't actually be down here.
No.
They'll be at together in Dallas, Fort Worth area,
right.
Different
and then
churches.
They're going to live stream it here.
They're live streaming
and
it
we're
here.
We're going to live stream it everywhere.
All of the nation, we're all going to be getting together.
Yes.
But here in Franklin County, Mount Vernon, Texas, it'll be at The Gathering on the 21st that Wednesday
yes.
night. So we'll be up there at 7 p.m.
That's the first time, I think, that we've ever done it as a nation in like 50 years as far as a solemn meeting together for our nation together.
Well, the Old Testament had solemn
That's
assemblies.
Right.
That's what we're doing, solemn assembly.
That's right, calling for help.
And you'll see it on, we're going to play the video. I got a DVD in there. I have to give me a little patience here, a little bit of on it, and I'll get it figured out how to get it up when we get done with the tithes and offerings and everything.
Amen.
And we'll watch
That's
the video
good.
On God what they're doing.
God is hearing us. He's moving.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to be encouraged about. Well, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand, and one of these men will get it to you while we talk about tithes and offerings. And I'm going to talk about, is the blessing good? Is prosperity good? Okay, because, you know, people bash prosperity. People bash the blessing. So I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm going to read Isaiah 119. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. If you consent, and obey. And he's talking about his covenant. If you consent to the terms of my covenant and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Isn't that good? And then Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And then here's some of the blessings in Leviticus 26 verse 3. If you carefully obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land. You'll be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I'll rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. Five of you will chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. Isn't that good? All your enemies will fall beneath your sword. I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people. And I'll fulfill your covenant, my covenant with you. You will have a surplus of crops that you will need. You'll have such a surplus of crops, you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new grain. I will live among you, and I will not despise you. I will walk among you. I'll be your God, and you be my people. Because I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt so you would no longer be slaves. And I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk with your heads held high. That sounds good to me. Okay, and then here's the curse. However, if you do not listen to me or obey these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt and refusing to obey my commands, you will be punished. You will have sudden terrors that come upon you, wasting diseases, burning fevers. That shows me that the sickness isn't part of the blessing in disguise, right? It's listed in the curse. And your eyes will fail. Your life will ebb away. You'll plant your crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. I will return against you. You'll be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you. And you will run even when no one is chasing you. And if in spite of this you still disobey me, you will be receive punishment seven times over for your sin. Your proud spirit will be broken. The skies will be an unyielding as iron and the earth as hard as bronze. All your work will be for nothing, for your land will yield no crops, and your trees will bear no fruit. And even then, if you remain hostile towards me and refuse to obey me, because God's always given us chances, you will receive disaster seven times for your sins. The wild animals will rob you of your children, destroy your livestock. Your numbers will dwindle, and your roads will be deserted. And if you fail to learn the lesson and continue your hostility toward me, then I myself will be hostile towards you. You will be struck with calamity seven times over. Armies will come against you to carry out the curse of the covenant that you broke. When you run to your towns for safety, you will have a plague that will destroy you there. You'll be handed over to your enemies. Your food supply will be destroyed. 10 women will need only one oven to bake bread for their families. They will ration your food by weight. And though you have food to eat, you will not be satisfied. And if in spite of this, you still refuse to listen and still remain hostile, I'll tell you, why are people so hard-headed and stubborn? So I will give, you will receive full vent of the curse. You will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters. Yep, your pagan shrines will be destroyed and your places of worship will be knocked down. Your lifeless corpses will be piled on top of your lifeless idols. And you'll be despised and your cities will be desolate. And I will take no pleasure in your offerings. That's pretty bad. And those of you who survive will be demoralized in the land of your enemies. It gets worse and worse. You will live in such fear that the sound of a leaf by the wind will send you running. You will run as though fleeing from a sword, and you will fall even when no one is pursuing you. Though no one is chasing you, you will stumble over each other as though fleeing from a sword. You'll have no power to stand against your enemies, and you will die among the foreign nations and be devoured in the land of your enemies. And those of you who survive will waste away in your enemies' lands because of their sins and the sins of their ancestors. Amen. And then he says, if you confess and repent, I'll turn to you and rescue you. And see, what is the lesson of that? Well, the lesson is we get to choose. Because in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, today I've given you the choice. The choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. They're watching us. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live, and you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, your God, you will live long. And see, the lesson is this, is God gives us a choice. And see, if prosperity was bad, if blessing was bad, then God would be bad for giving us a choice to choose the blessing. No, the curse is bad. The curse is really bad. I mean, it's terrible. And if you look in history, every nation that rejected God, that's exactly what it looks like, doesn't it? But we've never been that bad, because we were always a nation that honored God and loved God. And so we got to keep choosing God, because we want that blessing. We want to choose to serve him. And let's look at John 10:10. The thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, this is Jesus, so you may have the full and abundant and satisfying life. And so the truth is, prosperity comes from the blessing. Prosperity comes from God. It's not bad. Why they bash it? I don't know. Because in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich without sorrow. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without trouble. And so the blessing belongs to the Christian, and it belongs to the Jewish people. Prosperity belongs to the Christian. In fact, the whole earth belongs to the Christian and the Jewish people. But then Satan came, and he's on the loose. But you know what? If we do things our way, we're going to operate in God's power, and there's nothing he can do that can defeat us. That's what the blessing is for. The blessing is made so we can defeat the enemy. And see, if we believe prosperity is bad, then the enemy will have all the prosperity. And what does he do with it? He uses it to destroy the Christians. And he uses it to destroy the Jewish people. He uses it to destroy all mankind. He'll use it to steal, kill, and destroy every single person, because he doesn't care. And so that's why it is so important. Prosperity is important. Teaching the blessing is important, because how are we going to publish the good news if the enemy has everything? And see that he is deception. He's very deceptive. So we don't focus on that. You know that. Salvation is the most important thing, but then we need to be able to live safe and have our children be safe, and we can't be safe without prosperity. We can't be safe without the blessing. And God intended us to have the blessing here, because we're not going to need it in heaven. There's no curse in heaven. The blessing's the only thing strong enough to defeat the curse. And that's why it's so important, because we need to publish the good news so everyone has a chance, an opportunity to choose. And they're not going to have that opportunity to choose unless they hear the good news. Isn't that true? Amen. Does that help when people start bashing prosperity? I think it does, don't it? Amen. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, and we lift up our tithes and offerings to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the ability so we could be protected from the curse. And, Lord, we just thank you for this, Lord. You said that when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, you open up the windows of heaven. That's right. You were able to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. You rebuked the devourer from touching our stuff. We're under your protection, and all the nations would call us blessed. You said that when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men bring into our bosom. And so I speak the blessing over every household here. Satan, you're rebuked over every household here. And all who agree, say amen. In Jesus' name. That's pretty good. If you young men could come pick it up.
Facebook that all And today, don't shock us.
Without a doubt, we live in dark times, darkened by moral relativism, by cultural decadence, by spiritual apathy, and ecclesiastical lukewarmness.
And the problem is that if we had seen just a few years ago what we're seeing today, we would be shocked.
We have to change this. We have got to approach the impact and the transformation of our nation as a unified people of God.
One of the things that God's put on our heart is for us to just kind of lay aside our differences and come together.
The number one problem in America is actually a lukewarm church.
That we've created our own silos, and rather than being the unified people of God, we have become fragmented, and thus our impact and our voice has been reduced, lessened, and even ignored.
Maybe we come from a different denominational background or a different cultural background, or maybe even a different brand, if you want to say it that way. But I want to encourage you, lay that aside. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The antidote to a polarized society is a multi-ethnic kingdom culture outreach. Not the black church, the white church, the brown or the yellow church, but one church, the church of Jesus Christ.
No longer can we allow our differences to divide us so that our impact is not experienced, felt, appreciated, and beneficial to our nation.
We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are anointed to bring good news. We are anointed to impact culture. We are anointed not only to engage the culture, but to reform the culture with the eternal truths, with the reality of the centrality of Christ, with hope and grace and love.
It is time for the leaders to come together in a national solemn assembly.
In the scriptures, the spiritual leaders called a solemn assembly, a sacred gathering, to call God's people together in unison in order to invite God's manifest presence to return to their midst for the transformation of their land.
God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land."
And in keeping with that principle and that template, we as spiritual leaders in our nation are doing the same thing at the gathering, a national solemn assembly.
The solemn assembly is a clarion call. It is a gathering of Christian pastors and leaders in order to address the spiritual darkness upon America today.
The focus of the National Solemn Assembly is prayer, not another program.
We need to be intentional about coming together to visually manifest the unity that God created us to have.
Like in Joel chapter 2, where they said, "Call the elders, let's pray, let's have a solemn assembly."
So I do believe if the church stands up, we will be able to push back against the darkness saturating our society and our culture today.
Our nation needs a national solemn assembly because God promised to respond to his people when they cry out to him, dealing with the spiritual decline within them, so that he is now free to work through them to bring transformation in the land and the nation of which they are a part.
And we decided we don't want to just put together another conference or another seminar or another program. We want to really pray. And we're not doing this for the media to pick up on it, although they may, but that doesn't matter. We're doing this for God to pick up on it.
For what purpose? For the purpose of being holy, for the purpose of being one, and for the purpose of being light.
It is absolutely critical that we plug in to God's promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if his people called by his name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, he would hear from heaven and he would heal their land.
With humility and grace, here's my clarion call for you today. Join the movement. Join me, join Dr. Tony Evans, Robert Morris, James Robeson, Ronnie Floyd, and so many others. Join us for the purpose of being light.
When God affects us, he will infect the culture with his value system, bringing wholeness, health, and help to a society desperately in need.
We're doing this so that the God of heaven, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looks down from heaven, hears our prayers, forgives our sin, and heals our land.
Our cry will be with one vision, with one voice, based on one agenda under God.
Hallelujah. Glory. September 21st, 2016. That'll be that Wednesday night. Like I said, we'll be here Sunday the 18th on the square here in town. Be packed. People up there. We're expecting hundreds of people up there. And then that Wednesday night, the 21st, we will not have church here. We'll be at the gathering by Shears, the haircutting place. Hopefully they got enough room for all this, but we're going to get in there and just... Yeah, we'll be out in the parking lot praying if we have to. Well, youth and children can be released. Hallelujah. Oh, he's happy. He's ready to go. Oh, 2016, the year of the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me get my scriptures ready. Hallelujah. The first one's over there in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Okay. All right. Get a connection here for the scriptures. And I think that's it right there. Yep, that's right there. All right. We've already discussed what? We've discussed on the armor of God, truth, how if you've been listening to grandma's folklore or man's traditions or whatever, how that can rob you of God's benefits and His truth of the Word of God, and you will not receive everything that you were supposed to have from the Word of God. I mean, just like salvation, if they would twist that a little bit and make it into man's works, you wouldn't receive it because you're not getting it as a free gift. And they did have that at one time. It was a work back before Martin Luther in, what was it, 1575, the Roman Catholic priest discovered that salvation was not through works and trying to buy your way to heaven. It's through giving your life to Jesus Christ, asking him to be your Lord and Savior. So little things like that can be a major thing. You know, these people thinking they're getting themselves to heaven and they're not making it. That's a major thing. Well, the same thing's in every area of your Christian walk about, you know, how to pray, how to believe God, how using your faith, the blessings of God. Like Monica talked about God's prosperity for years through the old Eastern religions, put in their poverty vows, and it got into the old Catholic Church and was part of it that you're supposed to give everything you had. I mean, be dirt poor with wearing no shoes and give it all to the Catholic Church. And that's what they taught and everything. And it infiltrated into the church. What if the truth would have been taught that God said to give and it should be given unto you, good measure, and that you were supposed to have that and have a support, given you're living off 90%, you're giving 10%, you can give more if you want. And it just keeps increasing in your life, praise God, that you don't have to, you know, you can do more and more for Jesus, hallelujah. So we talked about truth, we've talked about righteousness, that we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Now we're going to be talking about peace. And this third part of the armor is your shoes. You can't run very well without the proper shoes. Just think about that. Think about that. Can you imagine, as a football player, running with ballerina shoes on? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Or vice versa. Could you imagine a ballerina with the big old cleats on? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Or how about my old job at air gas, them cylinders? They made me have them $140, $30, whatever they were, boots. And they had metal steel toes, so they were for protection. And a metal tarsal that goes across your bone up up the middle right there where the bottles fell over. They wouldn't crush that main bone there. And that would hurt, I would think, if I'd ever crushed that. So those boots were very helpful for my type work. Well, we're talking about the shoes of peace of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, you run across some hot concrete with no shoes on when it's 110, 20 degrees out there, and you wish you had your shoes on. You wish it'll make you lose your peace real quick. You'd be losing peace real quick, and you might be saying something you shouldn't be saying. And, you know, the funny thing was, I was working with that deal about getting the church on the website, and that's working out, praise God. And I'm praying, blessing God. And then another deal, part of it was getting this church, Voice of Believers Church, on Google Maps to this 81 Southeast, County Road Southeast 4110. You know, it's been under Glade Springs Church. So I'm working on getting that done. That come back up today. It's been a while since I've went in there and trying to figure that out, how to get that changed over. And I started, you know what, by the time I'm sitting there teaching on peace, I started to lose my peace over that. I had to hang on to it and thank you, Jesus, that you're just going to help me get this figured out, praise God. And he's going to, through the Google and through the YouTube, I'm going to get that figured out, how to get that changed over, hallelujah. So, you know, I had to use my peace today. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Thank God for the peace of Jesus. 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The peace of God will guard your hearts. Why? By praying to the Father and giving Him thanks. And there's times like that. What was it? Laura was going on a mission trip or something. She's leaving out. And, you know, Monica and I just snatched up and prayed about it. Get peace and pray over her and other things we prayed about. You know, it's a real quick prayer. How about when we were putting the signs up out there and I almost lost my patience out there when the church started? You know, we just went straight to this right here. Monica remembered to do it. And we prayed the prayer to get her peace back and God to help us with it. And he got that peace back and learned and figured out how to get that done. Hallelujah. And then there's other prayers. There's the prayers that to get your peace and to stay in peace over there in Mark 11:22. Like say you're needing a new vehicle. Or let's say you're standing for a loved one's salvation. This is part of a prayer for that. A bill to be paid. Healing. Health for your body. This Mark 11:22-25. I'm gonna share 25 first because you got to have this done right first before everything else. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. We must be walking in forgiveness. And not only that, if there's someone that has aught with us, you know, we have to go tell them we're sorry for whatever we've done to them. If you know, spend some time sometime, you know, go to the Father. He's not going to hide it from you because he's giving you future and hope. He wants you to be blessed and do good. You know, you go in there and get your pen and pad and say, Lord, if there's anybody that I haven't forgiven, or if there's anybody that I need to go forgive because they hurt me and I'm sitting held against them, you know, or someone that kind of mad at me because something I did and I need to go tell them I'm sorry, then show me who that is. And I've had it happen on both sides. You know, that I had to forgive people. And also that someone that was, I had hurt. And God was showing me. And I just didn't want to go over and tell them at first. I really didn't. But I did finally because, you know, I know it was hurt my blessing. So I went over and I told him, hey, you know, I'm sorry for doing that. You know, acting that way and saying what I said. You get quicker if you start and you're messing with your blessings and everything. You get quick at, you know, hey, telling somebody you're sorry for what you've done to them and everything. Make amends with those that you've hurt. All right, verse 22 of that same chapter of Mark 11 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. We're supposed to have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. All right. You first thing is, whoever says the mountain, you're saying it. You're saying it right there. you cast and see, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done. There's a second time I'm talking about you saying will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now you have to get this working in your mouth in order for your prayers to come to pass. And that's your mouth has got to line up. Your words have got to line up with whatever you're believing for. You cannot be believing for one thing and saying the opposite. You're just not going to receive what you pray for, and you're going to get frustrated and mad at God and blame God if you're not careful. So we got to make sure if we prayed and believed for something, we got to have our mouth lined up. Like, let's say the instance someone's going to pray to get free from cancer, or the bad diagnosis about cancer. Well, look at verse 23 there. It goes on to say, or 24, excuse me. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you have them. So that person prays to the Father in Jesus' name. Might have another believer that's with them. Prays the Father in Jesus' name over them. And they pray that the complete healing over that body in Jesus' name. And they're cancer free, and any kind of spirit or cancer, you go off of them. Any kind of fear, go. And they're free from cancer in Jesus' name. Now, they prayed that prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Now they're going to have to keep what they said. Say to the mountain, say to the mountain, say to the mountain. I'd say to that mountain, cancer, you're gone from me. I'll never have cancer again in my life. I'm free from all cancer. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus in Jesus' name. And that's what's going to have to take place in their mouth to see their prayer to come to pass. And that their words are going to have to line up with what they're believing for. That way you can keep your peace. Keep your peace when you're praying in your prayers, hallelujah. I've learned that. At first I didn't know it. And I was wondering why I'm hitting some and getting some, and then some I'm missing. And then, well, what's wrong? You know, my mouth and everything. And makes God look like sometimes he'll do it and sometimes he won't, when the whole time he's wanting to do it and everything. All right, the peace of God protects, guards in your hearts and minds. The Vine's Dictionary of Biblical Words says it's protection for your well-being, peace is. Protection for your well-being, hallelujah. The good news is the Word of God. It brings the peace of God to us. It brings the peace of God to us, hallelujah. In fact, the first time the good news was preached, do you know when that was? Let's see when that was. Galatians chapter 3. We'll see when the good news of Jesus was preached. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles. See, we used to be Gentiles, now we're Christians. So the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Were you justified by faith? Yeah, you didn't get it by the law. Preach the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You are blessed because you believed Abraham, and because God imputed righteousness to him. Hallelujah. He's called the father of that faith, and that blessing came to pass. And that peace came in our life because we got it through faith like he did. We got it through faith like he did. Hallelujah. So, let's turn over to 13 and 14. No, yeah, 13 and 14, excuse me. 13 and 14 of the same chapter. Let me pull it down a little bit. Christ has redeemed us from the curse law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. See, remember that Monica was talking about that curse that was on out there? See, Jesus took that curse for us on that tree 2,000 years ago. It's already been done, folks. It's already been done. Your healing's been done 2,000 years ago. Your prosperity's been 2,000 years ago. You just have to believe for it. Your children being saved following Jesus. Your salvation's been done 2,000 years ago by Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. It's all been done. You just got to put your faith and believe for it. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's right. We received that promise. We received that promise of through the Spirit, of the Spirit through faith and our salvation. Plus the blessing came along with it. So we got the things that we need. That's what God's promises are all about, to bring you peace. They're there to bring you peace, hallelujah. Back there in the foyer, there's all those pages of promises. Those two different sets of promises, I do those every morning. Sometimes that one I do at night too. You know, I do my confessions, hallelujah. It brings me peace, great peace, when I know that God's working on my behalf. His angels are out there working on my behalf. The protection of me and my wife and family, hallelujah. God's working in our behalf, hallelujah, because I'm doing those confessions, hallelujah. And it's so confident building in the Word of God. You know, wow, God is taking care of us, hallelujah. Brings peace, hallelujah. Brings peace. When in a world that it can be like it is right now, and you're like, oh, I think I'm going to do it the kingdom of God way instead of the world way, because, my goodness, this world way is, it looks like it's falling apart, really. The economy, as far as the world's economy and stuff, is just not like it used to be and stuff. So I thank God I'm in the kingdom's economy of God to take care of me, hallelujah. Do it His way. Luke 4, chapter 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He is the anointing one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce and release the captives, recover the sight of blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That's good. That's good. That's what Jesus came to do. All those things. You know, hey, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Blind man, lame man, whatever, you don't have to be blind and lame no more. Those that are in captivity or downtrodden or in demonic oppression, you don't have to be that anyway anymore, you know. And also the free favors of God and the acceptable year of the Lord. In fact, I strongly believe, and I'm not prophesying or nothing like that, I just feel my spirit, I'll put it that way, that come October the 3rd, which is Israel's new year, and is the year of Jubilee, the 50-year Jubilee. In fact, they've talked about that, so I know that's right and stuff. But I'm saying about me, what I believe is something major is going to happen from that time on. I think things are going to be sped up. Things are really going to be happening quick. You know, God doing stuff and everything after that time, because we're going into that 50-year, year of Jubilee, hallelujah. It's a very powerful time. You talk about peace and keeping your peace. I remember in 2014 when Monica and I and Daniel and Barbie, we got our plane tickets, everything we need to go see Grandma and Grandpa Mowens, Thor and Connie Mowens, Monica's mom and dad, out there in Kingman, Arizona. Well, the thing is, the closest airport is Vegas. So we're going to have to fly into Vegas. No, I didn't stop and hit the one-armed bandits. You're all looking at me. The pastor's been at Vegas gambling again. No, I didn't hit them one-armed bandits. They even had them one-armed bandits in the airport where you walk through. They were everywhere. So we flew into there, and we got there like 11, 12 o'clock that night. And we got on this little shuttle bus over to the rental place. Now, earlier, I'm talking about like a week before, maybe 4 days before, I was checking rental cars over there, and this one place over there, out of all of them, I mean, it Hertz, Avis, and all kinds of different ones, but this one would take debit cards, because that's what I had, Monica and I had. We didn't have credit cards at that time, and because I don't really like credit cards. If you're going to have one, pay it off right then. Put $20, $30 in because you had whatever, or whatever, just pay it off every month. If it gets where you can't pay it off, then you don't need one that month, because it gets to be you're living on credit, and you don't want to do that. You want to be debt-free and credit-free. Anyway, so here we are. I said, yeah, sure, we got one. So I get my name and everything. We get out there midnight and I go over to the place. I forget the name of that place. And they said, what about, I told them who it was. I said, oh, yeah, here you are. And there ain't still a vehicle around nowhere for theirs. They said, oh, this one comes back in about, I think, 9 or 10 the next morning. It's midnight. We were going to have to sit on those chairs till like 10 o'clock in the morning. We're wanting to get over there to visit the kin folks. Now, I could have blew up. I wanted to blow up. I wanted to get mad. But I kept my peace because I knew if I got mad at him and didn't forgive him and everything else, I would hurt myself. So Monica was there with me. I was praying, Lord, where do we do now? I was walking and praying, what do I do now? Which way do I go? Which company do I need to go to in Jesus' name? And all of a sudden, that red Avis sign just lit up to me. It was like drawing me to it. So I said, come on, y'all. So Daniel and Barbie's following us. We're all tired, midnight, 1 o'clock. We walk over there and get in there, and they take a credit card. Now, thank goodness, Mom had to take my credit card and hang on to it just in case she needed it. I didn't think I'd need it for anything. Thank God God was leading her. So I got in there in the Avis line, and Monica prayed. Then she prayed with the girls that I would get the right person to talk to, because if you got a credit card, you actually supposed to be there with your name on it. If you with to do this at the rental vehicle, they don't really do it without that. Anyway, so they prayed for that one. I'm next in line. And they're all standing back here. Next, you know, this guy comes up. Next, I whoop over. He was the right one. Praise God. As I pulled out that card, and he knows different. He goes, "Well, most time we don't do this. We won't do this, but I'll do it this time. It's the favor of God. Favor of God." Got our piece back, got our van, and got down there and see Thorne County Mowens. Praise God. Thank God for peace. Peace, because I wanted to blow up there for a minute, but I hung onto my peace through the power of Jesus Christ and His Word. Hallelujah. I knew that's the best thing, because if I'd have got mad at him and that person at the other place, it would have just been rolled downhill there. We'd all been sitting there 10, 12 hours waiting on a vehicle, or maybe not even got one from him. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you in concerning your faith. That's right. That's right. So establishing and encouraging your faith. That's why the Lord sent preachers and pastors, to establish you and encourage you in your faith. I'm not supposed to lord over you, tell you what to do and everything like that of the time and everything, just lord over you. I'm supposed to live by example, what's going on in my life and that what God's doing in my life, and doing the Word of God by following the Word of God. So I'm supposed to be encouraging you and concerning your faith, praise God, building you up in your faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. You can make it. You know, trust Jesus. Trust the Word. I'll pray with you. Don't give up. That's what we're here for. And that brings peace, praise God. It's the good news that brings peace. You keep on believing Jesus and His Word. You're moving more towards Jesus every day. Hallelujah. There's pastors out there and preachers out there. There's preachers out there. I mean, some of them are just plumb worthless. I mean, they're more worthless than a four-fingered glove, because they'll tell you how you can't do it, how you shouldn't do it this way, but then they're going to tell you how it's going to kill you if you don't do it. And you're like, what? So you can't do it and everything else. And then it's going to kill you if you don't. Well, that's worthless to no one, praise God. If you can't teach them how to use their faith and trust the Word of God, hallelujah. They'll tell you that the very thing that you're believing is happening to you is coming from God. That sickness, disease that's destroying you, or your little child or whatever, is coming from God. And so how are you going to fight that? You're going to fight God? No, you can't fight that. That's crazy to me. And he sent there, and it's, you know, he sent his son to die on the cross to take all that stuff from us. He was bruised for our iniquities, and healed. We were healed by his stripes, praise God. Let's look over Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, 13. I'm going to go to the second part there. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing forward. You know, pressing forward to the good things of God. You know, God will not hold any good thing back from us. We're pressing for that good, that prize from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I think of my wife, Monica. I wonder, you know, I messed up my first marriage. I mean, it was a joint deal. We both were unsaved and messed up and very jealous and everything. We messed it up together. But I wanted another family, hallelujah, wife and a family. And I remember praying and believing for one. And my gosh, God went to work quick on that little deal. I was sitting there, it was October when I prayed for that in a four-bedroom house. And sitting on that back road, First Baptist with the Gibbs talking to them. And that's when Monica came in, walking down through there with little Danielle. She was 5. And the Holy Spirit just spoke in my heart and said, there she is. I'm like, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, He don't hold anything good back from us. If it's good, He's going to make sure we get it, hallelujah. Or He's wanting us to get it, hallelujah. And I knew over time, I knew she was the right one. She was going to church, taking her children to church. She was serving. She was taking care of the children. And that's all she wanted to talk about. One other thing is when I got over there, I was chasing after her, going over to her place all the time. She's constantly about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Whole life about Jesus, then her kids. Whole life about Jesus. Wasn't nothing about her. It was about Jesus and then the children. Jesus, then her children. And I like, this is the right one, praise God. And when I knew that, I knew she's the right one. Hallelujah. Because I knew if she'll follow Jesus, her children will be all right. And I just like me, that's the way I think. I was following Jesus, putting Jesus first. I know my children are going to be all right because I'm following Jesus first. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. What did he tell you? What's he got of you? Jesus, God's got thoughts of peace. Peace and not of evil towards you. To give you a future and a hope. That's what God's thoughts for you. He wants you to live in peace. Hallelujah. If you see where you're losing your peace, you can bet it's the devil causing it. If you're losing your peace in any area of your life, you know the devil's causing it. He's trying to cause anxiety, worry, fear, all those other things that he tries to cause. But you know what? Like I said, you heard those things? Satan's got a plan for your life too, to kill, steal, and destroy. And we got to keep out of that. Because, you know, I look at the most time, and all the time, it's never God. It's never God. It's either we made bad decisions, weren't hanging with God, reading his word, doing what we're supposed to do. That's one thing. Or the devil, or we were walking with God and everything, and the devil set up a trap for us. It's one of the two, and we didn't see it. And he deceived us some way or another. It's either he deceived us some way, or we weren't walking with Jesus and kind of put him on the kind of off to the shelf a little bit. One of the two. But God, every time, like I said earlier, he's got peace. His thoughts are peace for us and a future and hope all the time. Future and hope and peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:8. 1 Peter 2:8. Let me get there. They stumble being disobedient. That's the second part of it. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Why do they stumble? Because they were disobedient to the word. And it gave an opening for the devil to come in and attack their lives. So we got to make sure we're obedient to the word of God. Keep those shoes on. Peace. Hallelujah. Let's look over at Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. How are we going to keep our peace? Keeping our mind on Jesus. Keeping our mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. So when all hell breaks loose, what do? We grab that thermostat and we jerk it back to peace. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, they got a thermostat up here, you know, for air conditioned heating. We adjust it where we're comfortable. Hallelujah. Well, if all hell breaks loose around you in your life, whatever, you grab the thermostat and get it back to peace quick right then. You get in the Word of God. You pray. You do your confessions. Get your peace back. Rebuke that fear. Rebuke that fear. Stop it right then. And I've known people that had children that had major disease came on them. And the first thing that come out of their mouth, I will not fear. No, I am not fearing here. They're healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the first words set up for that child's healing and deliverance, praise God. And that child, I can think of one, Lindsay, Kenneth Colton's granddaughter, was it meningitis? I forget what it was. Anyway, it was a bad deal, and she would have passed away within a few days. Anyway, the mama, that's the first thing mama come out of the mouth, even though there's fear around and it's dark. She said it was real dark when they diagnosed her daughter with that disease. And at first, we was no, I stopped the fear, rebuked that fear. I'm believing my daughter's healed in Jesus' name. And praise God, they prayed and believed God and trust God. And daughter gets completely healed. doesn't have that disease no more. Hallelujah. So we got to keep her peace. You know, that's a pretty strong illustration there and testimony happened there. It can be even smaller things, because a lot of times it's some people, it's the big things. Like I was talking to, who was it? David Fornoy. To him, it's the big things that he keeps his peace in. I'm talking about major. At one time, he said he parked that vehicle somewhere, and he said they come took it off, and $300. And he kept his peace about that. But he said it's a little daily things where he loses. He got to learn how to handle his peace. Praise God. And I experienced today about that, the Google Maps and the church and everything like that. I want to get fired back up like I was a year ago, but I just kind of got my peace back down. Hallelujah. Got my peace. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray about it and trust God and start seeking and find out how to get it changed over. Hallelujah. One step at a time. All right. We got to keep our peace through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right. Let's all stand and pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you help us keep our peace. You remind us. Remind us of your word, of how to keep our peace. Prayer, praise and worship, go to the promises, confess the promises, and different ways that we can keep our peace, Lord, when those things come on us, that way we can overcome that anxiety and worry and fear that the devil tries to bring, and those deceptions and the lies of the devil, and we can overcome. Help us to recognize that and to combat it with your word, and start when something comes on, instead we just speak the opposite. We speak the opposite and speak the blessing. And we speak to the mountain and say, no, no fear here, no cancer here. You go. You're not going to be on us. We're delivered from that. We're healed and delivered, and we're free from all that stuff in Jesus' name. And we'll speak that word, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for it. We give you all the praise and the glory. Now, if there's anybody listening to this message and you say, I need that peace in my life. I need to be able to go through life and have peace. Well, the first peace you need is salvation, and to know that you're going to be in eternal life with Jesus Christ, just like those that believe, like the rest of us here. And that's a simple prayer, believe in Jesus, what he did on the cross. And it says over there in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and raised back the right hand side of the Father, and you ask him into your heart, you make a verbal confession, you shall be saved. So it's simple as that. And also says over there, over in Luke 11:13, you can ask him to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Father, will he fill you up with his Holy Spirit? If you want that, all you got to do is pray this prayer with me and say, Jesus, I believe your word. I believe that if I ask you in my heart and believe that you were raised from the dead and at the right hand side of the Father, I'll be saved. So I ask you in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Show me your will for my life. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit and let me live for you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer of salvation, then you can go on voiceofbelieverschurch.org and go on the prayer link and share it with us, and we'll be praying for you. Find a good church in your area to teach you the word of faith and how to overcome the devil and live by the word of God and God's promises and win in life. Praise God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everyone here and everyone that's listening. Lord, I say that we're the head, not the tail, we're the lender, not the bar. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he has to flee from us seven, because he is in us, the Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We have no man of things except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus. We give and it shall be given us. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall mean given our bosom. Same measure we meet with us, but measure us again. Beloved, I pray above all things that I may prosper, being healthy as thy soul prosper. Though 1,000 fall on one side and 10,000 on the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life he satisfies. Thank you, Lord, for a long, healthy life. We take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, cast down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, depression. We say you get out of our mind and go in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and revelation of your word. We go out here full of faith, Lord. Bring us those people that need you, Jesus. We can share your good news with them, and those that already have you in their heart and their spirit, Jesus, in there, that we can share the word of faith to them, how they're overcomers through you and your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.